serve him. Serve him. I'll serve him in the morning. Serve him in the noontime. Serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him till the sun goes down. Do you love him? Love him. Love him. I'll love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him. I'll love him. Love him when the sun goes down. Serve him. Let's serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Serve him in the morning. Serve him in the noontime. Serve him. Serve him. I'll serve him when the sun goes down.
At this time, I just want to get Brother Moore up real quick.
Y'all may be seated. Amen. It's good to be back in the house. Yes. I want to do an announcement before we do the announcements. Well, God answers prayers. Yes. Jay is out of the hospital. Right. He's gone to jail. He's at my house. this is the next step in him getting home. To have him with 24/7 coverage. And so me and Clarice are not working. Courtney's working hard, 12-hour days and on and on and on. So we've got him in our house for a while to make that next step. Amen. Now, because I know y'all crazy, Jay's coming tonight. But I don't want everybody flocking him. He's going to wear his mask. But he just still needs the distance. But he couldn't help. He wanted to get back in the house of God. Amen. To be a testimony that God does answer prayers. So I just wanted to get up first so that y'all don't flock him when he get in here. And so I'm sure he's got somewhat to say. But that's on Jay. I just want to get that out so that people know it. And he's going to come in late and he's going to leave early. So we want to respect that. But I don't blame you. I want to be in the house too. This is where you get your strength from. People have been praying for him around the world. So now the world needs to see that God does answer prayer. So come on.
God bless Brother Jay. Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick. August 18th is the wedding. September 9th is the Fox Hollow Rodeo. And then on the 10th, remember church pictures, dress nice. And September 29th, bonfire, Caleb and Andreas.
Is there anything needed for the rodeo? I mean,
that's what I was going to get up and talk about. I got to get a sign-up form for us, too, just so we can get an idea of head count, which will get posted by Sunday. But $15 for adults and $6 for children. I think it's 6 and up. If you're 5 and under, you're free. But we'll get that posted and announced as well. But really, that's what you do. And according to Brother Deskins, we'll just be those that want to drive together, we'll be able to meet there and drive there and buy our ticket there. There's nothing that we have to do ahead of time. We'll just show up there on time for the rodeo. But $15 for adults and $6 for children.
It's good to be here. This is a real place. I'm honored to be here. I'm excited about Brother James, and I'm excited about hearing from God tonight. But Brother Moore, you helped me on Sunday talking about those three pools. And just one thing that stuck out to me, you were talking about how Noah, when that door shut, it helped his faith. Well, it wasn't faith anymore. He knew what had been preached to forever. It was gone. He was like, this is destruction's happening. The rain's coming. All these things, all of that thing that he had to have faith for went away with that. God shut that door. And I was thinking, I've said in this my whole life, and I see that loved one. When I see that loved one appear, whether it's my dad or my grandma Daisy, I'll know that body change is real. I'll know that bride supper is real. I'll know the millennium's real, the new heaven and new earth, because it'll not be faith anymore. Because we'll see it in action. And I'm just so thankful for that, because it just helped me, and I have faith for all of this. But I know that one day it'll be real when we see it manifestation. And just real quick before I sit down, if you can just remember my cousin Tammy, she had a surgery yesterday. It didn't go as planned, and they've had to send her to UC. They had to flight her down. So she's just having some complications with her esophagus. So just lift her up and just ask God to touch her, get her out of that situation.
Brother Mike? Amen.
I want to also mention Sunday service really meant a lot to me. And it was mainly this is that, the third pull. That's how you know you've been through the third pull. This is that. And if you understand that, that connects you back to the day of Pentecost. It connects you back to every single one of them. Because every single one of them had one testimony. They recognized their day in this message and realized that this is that.
Amen.
To me, it was Revelations 10, 8 through 11. When I said there, I'm like, oh my God. That's me it's talking about.
Amen.
Then I realized that this was that which they spoke of.
Right.
Pastor Moore has mentioned it multiple times about Malachi when he realized it. Mm-hmm. This is that.
Right.
This is that is such an important thing because it connects you with God himself.
Right.
Every single person through there recognized their day in this message by that one little testimony. This is that, which he hid right there in that. But everyone with revelation realizes that, can see that. And those three words really touched me and got me excited Sunday. And I just wanted to testify on it.
Amen.
Sister Renee?
So I've been thinking about Brother Jay, you know, of course, every day. But for surgery, I heard this song. It's called Trust in God. And I just was like sing it all the time. It's our life, you know. I trust in God. One of the words says he's been my fourth man in the fire time after time.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, but this just means so much to me.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God, Brother Jay is going to get here tonight. So I wanted to sing the song. I was actually practicing it on the way out to church.
Amen.
So, and then because I kept crying when I would sing it, the words are just precious. But I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, you know, and that's been my whole life. I'm just thankful that I get to be here and I know I'm not wishing on a cloud somewhere.
No, right.
I know. I get to trust in God. And, you know, when he does take our loved ones home, or what, I lost my Uncle Phil in July and we were out of town. I didn't get to tell anyone. He's okay. You know, my mom's okay. He's better than we are. So I, you know, and I appreciate Brother Dwayne and Sister Johanna. They've asked about my daughter, you know, and I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me that you think about her, whether I'm saying something or not, you know. And I was telling them, it's funny because she keeps getting blood tests. She keeps having problems with her eyes. They give her medicine, and she gets better, but nothing comes up on the blood test because it's not going to. I said, and they want her to see a specialist. I'm like, you can. That's fine because I'm going to take all the people that you're meeting, but nothing's going to wait. That's exactly right. So anyway, this is called Dressed in God, and I think you guys have probably heard it before. So, I'll start off with the chorus so you guys can think of it. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my
Brother Jay, do you want to say anything? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to be home. It's good to be home. Oh, my, I'm happy to be here. I have longed for this day. I've looked at every one of your faces. I've heard every one of your testimonies. Oh, I've just lived it. I've been able to see you guys grow. I've been able to see that, you know, so I come here and I'm just happy. I'm happy. You know, I've got a story to say and all those kind of things, but I don't even want to over-glorify any of the bad because it's like having a baby. You know, I don't need to tell you how much pain it takes to have a baby. I don't need to tell you what pain medicine they tell you when you go there. Just show me the baby. Show me what God has done for me. Show me the blessing. Show me the end of it. I don't need to know the beginning. You ain't got to tell me too much about the middle. Tell me the end of it. Tell me what God did for you. Oh, I'm looking at him saying, Lord, for the last 20 years, I was operating on 20% of a liver, and God brought me through that. But now I got 100%. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? I can stand up now, Satan. I can process things now, Satan. What are you going to do now? You thought you had a chance before. Oh, my first service I had to miss was a Wednesday night. Got the band back together now. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy to be here. I'm just so happy to see you guys. I got a little slideshow I'm going to show you just to show you what I was going through there at the hospital. But I'm so blessed to be here. I appreciate all your prayers. Everything that you guys did. Now, I'm in the recovery stage now, rehab, all that kind of stuff. Because there was a time when I couldn't even walk. You know, every time you get a liver transplant, you add about 20, 30 pounds on you of water. I got two liver transplants. That's 60 pounds of water. So I go into the hospital about 240, get up to about 300, couldn't even get out of a chair, couldn't get out of a bed. But you saw me stand up tonight. You saw me roll in here tonight. So I'll show you guys some of these pictures in here just because I know I won't be able to talk to you as much as I'd like to right now. But That's all right. I'm here for the Word of God. I'm here to celebrate the healing. But you know what I really came here for? You know what I really came to see? So I'm blessed. God blessed every bit of the journey. He blessed every bit of the support staff. And one of the things that happened when I went there to the hospital, because I drove myself to the hospital, and the doctors were surprised because of what my levels were. You should be incoherent. You shouldn't be able to talk. You shouldn't be able to think. And I was like, I drove myself. And they're like, there's no way. There's no way your levels. So just to give you an idea, your levels are supposed to be 0.1 to 0.8. Uh-huh. That's just a general range. Mine's were 7,000. So it was supposed to be incoherent, not talking, not speaking, not be able to stand. But Lord bless, let me get through that. That was just one little small victory. And I can remember those things. That's another victory. I can remember who was taking care of me. That's another victory. I can remember my support system. That's another victory. So God let me hold on to the good stuff. So he strained out all the bad stuff. Let me hold on to the good stuff. So there's a picture of me there in the ER. I was there from Wednesday to Friday or something like that, getting talked to about the liver. And at that point, I was just in good spirits, good mood. Go to the next one. I didn't know what was to come. So I'm texting the family and all those kind of things, thumbs up. I was giving that all the time, whether it was good or bad. It's thumbs up. So let's go to the next one. Show you guys this here. This is a nurse that was taking care of me. And so what would happen is I had like a feeding tube, and they were just putting this food in my belly, and I couldn't eat anything. And they finally let me eat some stuff. And the hospital food was just terrible. You can be seated. I'll be talking for a little bit. So the hospital food was terrible, and I would just complain all the time about it. I'd say, I want some milk, and they go, well, we don't have milk. And I'm like, how do you not have milk? Like, what kind of hospital is this? And I'd say, I want this kind of cereal. And they'd be like, no, we don't have that anymore. And I'd say, I want this. And they say, we don't have that. I'm just reading through the menu, and they would not have anything I wanted. And it would take an hour to get it. So this nurse, she just took such great care of me. I got two stories about her. And the first one is, I was in so much pain at the hospital, and I was just writhing in pain, and they couldn't get me clean, and I couldn't get comfortable. And this nurse, she said, I got to do something for him to get him feeling better. So she ran around. She's like, I don't know what to do for black skin. She went to somebody else and said, let me get some baby oil and some lotion. And she just rubbed me down for hours to make me feel better. It got to the point where I was her baby. Now, she's probably 30 years old, but she was like, no, I'm taking care of my baby now. So, and it was just amazing. And one of the things about it is these nurses. Now, throughout this whole thing, my wife has just carried me. Carried me. I'm talking carried me. Put me on her back and carried me. Every morning at 3:30, she would talk to the nurses and get a report. Every morning. Some of y'all can't wake up at 7. She's waking up at 3:30 to get a report when life is terrible. You got a husband that's dying on you. You got all these things. 3:30, checking with the nurses, getting the report, then sending that out to Pastor Moore and Brother John, like, here's where we are, here's where we are, here's where we are. Just the facts of it. But she would be talking to her. And when I finally got a chance to be able to eat a little bit, I was like, man, if I just had some peanut butter and milk, that's all I would want. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning. I'd be like, I just want some peanut butter and milk. I'm so hungry. She went to the store. She worked third shift. And she went to the store. She's like, when I get off, I'm going to take some extra time to go get you some stuff. And I'm like, you don't got to worry about it. It's fine. I'm just going to complain a little bit. I'm just pouting because I'm sitting in the bed. I'm used to having control over everything, and I don't right now. Just let me pout. I'm just pouting. And I'll tell her that. And she came back in. She had that. So I took a picture of that. I was like, you're going to be remembered. You're going to be remembered. Don't worry. I'll pay you back. I'll get you back for that. Don't you worry about it at all. So that was one of my nurses there. But they were taking such great care of me. And go to the next one for me, Brother Bean. Oh, this here is just a sample of one of the tubes. So they'd stick that up your nose and all that kind of good jazz, and that would put the food down in your belly. So that was me with one of those tubes. Let's go to another one. That's me sitting up in a chair. Now, just to give you some context, you see around me is what's called a gait belt. That means somebody had to help me. Somebody had to hold that. And just to get into the chair, it was 3 or 4 people. Like I said, I had gained so much weight, it took 3 or 4 people just to put me in the chair. And I'd be so tired from just them putting me in the chair that I'd sit there just 3 or 4 hours because I was so exhausted. And I hadn't done anything. They just picked me up and put me in the chair. So when you see that and you think where God brought me from, you can see why I can look at these pictures and say, my, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so I wasn't even able to walk till 2 weeks ago. God's just been so good. Go ahead to the next one, Brother Praveen. Now this here, that's showing you some more wires, some more cords, some more things in there that they had to put in there when they do surgery and stuff. So that just gives you guys an idea that, you know, it did get dark, but thank God for the light. Now, I don't like to dwell on that too much. There's the next one for me, Brother Breen. This here is me in some rehab. So I went to my first stint in rehab. See, God had me, he made sure he did it right. He got me a liver just to get me to the next liver. Because I didn't know my first liver that I had, the liver that I went to the hospital with, I only had a couple hours left on that thing. That was running real low on the tank. I didn't know that. So when I got they did the transplant, they gave me a liver, and it was just to get me to the second one. And that got me that second liver, and I praise God for that. But here, I went to my first stint in rehab. I got a little bit sick, and they had sent me back to the hospital. But my first stint in rehab, I couldn't even lift my arm up. Had a one-pound weight, couldn't lift my arm up. And I remember telling Brother Jeremiah, I was like, I don't know how these old people are picking up more stuff than I am. I can't even pick up a one-pound weight over my head. It was just weird. I said, when I get a chance to go back to rehab, those old ladies are going to get it. I said, they're going to be tired of me when I get there. And sure enough, week later, Lord saw fit to get me back to rehab. I'm over there. I was doing the squats, and I was trying to do a dip with my arms to just kind of just let those old people know that I was back. And so I was there in rehab, and I did my thing there. And one of the things about rehab is the people that had to help me up, it was three or four people that had to help me stand up the first time I went to rehab. Those people came in to watch me graduate because they saw such a miracle. They said, there's no way you this progressed. You seem like you're two different people. They said, you're two different people from where you were to where you are now. So that's one of the ladies that came back in on their day off just to see me graduate from rehab. Go to the next one for me, Brother Bray. This right here is my buddy, Brother John, helping me with a walker. He helped me come in here. Thank God for Brother John. My goodness. Thank God he was there every step of the way. Him, Pastor Moore. You couldn't tell me. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you got. I don't care if you got a tape testimony, a record of it, a video of it. You can't tell me that they don't love me. I won't believe you. They couldn't tell me that they don't love me. So I wasn't going to let somebody else tell me they don't love me. They love me. The body loves me. You guys came through. Help me. One of the things that happened when you first go to get a liver, they ask for what's your support group. They say, hey, you're going to need some help. You're going to need somebody watching over you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's going to be able to take you here, do this, do that. Do you have a support group? We need at least 10 names. Well, no, she didn't even say the number. She just said, we need some names. And I just started rattling off names. I said, John Brinkman, Nate Moore, Jeremiah Allen, Dwayne Kirkman, Chris Copeland. I just started naming names. And she's like, you got some phone numbers? I was like, how many you want? Just take my phone. Go start at A and go all the way through. See, that's the extra benefits. Now, we get some spiritual benefits that nobody can touch. But talk to me about that icing on the cake. Talk to me about that real, that when I got a person, I want a guy with skin on him. It's great that you pray for me, but help me walk. It's great that you're thinking about me, but help me get through. Push me a little bit if I need push. And I thank God for these brothers and sisters that were just helping me all along the way, because you can't tell me this body don't love me. I can't stand for it. I won't believe you. Go to the next slide. Right there, this is a little video, I think, Brother Praveen, if you hit play on it. This is where they put these like little electrodes on my leg, and I was pedaling. And I started just pedaling. This is like my little Rocky montage, me getting better, because I started moving my feet a little bit. And the nurse was, Miss Courtney was in there. What'd she say?
What'd she say when I started pedaling?
That you were the fastest pedaler.
Right.
Told those old people. Told them. Now, I was probably going against a bunch of 60-year-olds, but that's all right. That's all right. It was okay. But I was doing my thing. Go to the next one. So this is Brother John when I was in my wheelchair going down the hall. Pastor Moore's behind me. He's watching us. But yeah, it's just examples of showing you guys where I come from. Let's go to the next one. Right here, look at this. I got some visitors now. I got some support around me now. I got Pastor Moore, Brother Jim, Sister O'Hood. I got Brother Hicks back there. Sister Judy and Brother Dwayne was the one taking the picture. So it was a beautiful thing. Let's go to the next slide. Look at that, my friend right there. My brother Dwayne, he came in one time and he said, hey, I want to show you something. And he put out all these tickets from parking. And he said, just wanted you to know I was here. I said, I already knew you were here. I don't have to see the tickets. I know you're here even if you're not in the room. I'm assuming that you're out there, that I can just say, Brother Dwayne, come in here. That's how I feel about it. I just feel that much love and support. I didn't even need to see the tickets, but it was great to see that he was there supporting me and helping me, because, you know, not a lot of people could come and see me. So you guys were represented well. You saw that. There was a representative from the body there every day. So when I first went there, it was a bunch of people that came to see in the beginning. You know, it was a lot of people that came up there, and they said the waiting room was full. I had no way of seeing that at all, but I appreciate that love. But the every day was, it was necessary. You need a constant reminder. That's why it's important to get to the house. You need a constant reminder, because your mind's going to do what your mind does. Satan's going to do his job. You got to do your job. You got to get to the house to get that reminder. It's good, you know, we talk about the pools, the first pool, second pool, third pool, but you still need a reminder. You go through that little room, get a revelation, you still need a reminder. You're only one-third perfect. So you still need those other two realms to get reminded of what you're here to do, because you're going to wake up sometimes and not feel like you need to do something, not want to do something. But, you know, there was reminders there. I'd get up and the nurse would come in and say, I just got done talking to your wife. And I'm like, praise God. I need to push. That's why I said you're one of the hardest workers. I was like, you know why I'm working so hard? You see that picture with those two kids over there? They think I'm Superman. I can't stay in here. I got to get out of here. On Wednesdays and Sunday nights, church will be playing. He's like, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to cover for me. But I'm going to be there soon. I'm going to be there right. I hear the trumpet. I'm like, I got to be able to play the trumpet. Let me get my breathing right. I got to be able to do that. I hear them singing. I got to be there. They're the people that are depending on me, because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Oh, my goodness. So praise God for Brother Dwayne. Let's go to the next one there.
Amen.
This other slide here, Brother Praveen, I think, is that it there? Perfect. So I got a scripture I wanted to read.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I'm just happy to be here. Y'all bear with me. I feel like I gave y'all time. I saw you brothers and I was like, yeah, they had time. Nobody rushed them. So I'm going to do mine. So let's see here. I had a scripture that I wanted to read. It said, okay, so this is over in 2 Kings 6. This is Elisha's talking to a servant, and they just got surrounded by a bunch of people. So basically, they came to kind of pursue Elisha the prophet, and they were going to attack him and take him out of the city. That's kind of the precursor there for this story. And the servant saw all those people camped around him, the enemy. He said, alas, my master, how should we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Oh, my. That he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man he saw, and he behold, the mountain was full. Full, not partially, not spacious. He said it was full of horses and chariots and fire around about Elisha. God had said, let me show you a little bit that I'm here this whole time. You know, when you go through something, you can see and you look back and you say, where was your real help at? Where was your real support at? And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, brothers, God wants us to be stronger. Your wives need you to be stronger. You know, I thought we got to understand that we are support. Yeah. You know, I need to know that I can lean on you. I need to know that I can lean on you. Because when I'm going through something, I need to be able to look over and know I got help.
Amen.
Because there's going to be moments where I'm going to need some help. I can't be looking over and saying, well, I hope he shows up today. I hope he pushes through today. I hope he makes it today. No, when I'm leaning, I need to lean on something solid. Even when you go to sit down, I'm sitting on something solid. I want to be able to rest on something solid.
Amen.
I can't. That's why he knew Elisha was the prophet, but he was like, I'm going to need to see some help. Let me see that we got some help. It looks like it might be more of them than it is of us. And Elisha had a revelation that God was with him. When you got God with you, you're not worried about anything.
Amen.
So I thank God for this support that we got here. And I got one last scripture that I want to read.
Amen.
Let me get to it here. Wow. It says, this is in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, you guys were referencing that, talking about the faith chapter. Yeah. I heard Brother Dwayne talking about faith. Faith ends in sight. Once it's a reality, that you no longer need faith. You talked about Noah's Ark. When the door closed and it started raining, nobody needed faith. Nobody even needed to be preached to. The message was, it was fulfilled by then.
Right.
It was over then. Yeah. It's over now. It's over now. Saving time is over. The gospels have been preached. The good news has went through. We're sitting in an hour where nobody even wanted it, and now it's raining.
Right.
Now it's raining.
Amen.
Now it's raining. So don't be surprised when people go to mega churches and they just sit there and listen to corn wash all day and they don't want God. You couldn't give them God if you had.
Come on.
We can see healing after healing after healing. And it just encourages us.
Yes.
They want to see a healing and go, well, where's God at today? No, God is here. I don't even need to see another healing to know that God is here. He doesn't have to save me again to know that God is here. God has changed everything about me to say, you know what, Brother Jay, you were taking things for granted. Let me show you what desperation really looks like. Since I've walked where Jesus has walked, talk about what Jesus really walked through. When he walked through Galilee, when he did those things, what was his walk like? It wasn't easy. When you sing that song, since I've walked where Jesus has walked, I'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Oh, but that doesn't make me boastful. It makes me humble.
Yes.
To look at this thing and say, praise God that you
yes.
brought me through this
yes.
so I can be here as a testimony just for today. You better have a testimony tomorrow. Mine's is done for the hospital. I'm not going back there. That part's over. We got other things to do. I don't want to dwell on that too much longer because guess what? I'm going to get better and better every day. That'll be a distant memory. I don't have to talk about that next year about where I was. But I can't say where he brought me from. That I can testify to. I can testify about my revelation, where he's brought me from. That I can't testify to. But just dwelling on the past all the time, 4 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, that's garbage. You don't need to dwell on that stuff. Let's move forward. What God do for you today? Didn't you get up today? Aren't you able to sing today? Can't you raise your hands today? Didn't you get to the house today? What happened today? Don't tell me about yesterday's problems. Don't tell me about tomorrow's bills. What's God doing today? You're in the house of God right now.
Amen.
You know what happens? And you know what? I was in the hospital, and I saw all those people, and they would do these things. And you know what? In the hospital, everybody's got all these different jobs. And I was telling Brother John, Pastor Moore about it. Everybody's got all these different jobs. You got somebody that's going to be cleaning the room. You got somebody that's going to be taking care of patients. But then you got these guys that are the surgeons. It's a whole different mindset when the surgeons come in the room. When the surgeons can sit, when they come in the room, everybody's quiet. Everybody's paying attention. Those are the life givers. Those are people that have the ability to give life. They're not worried about trash. They're not worried about med passes. They're not worried about if the lights are working or if the cabinet's working,
right.
Tablecloths, none of that stuff. They're life givers.
That's it.
You're all life givers. Hey. Don't come in here like you're taking out trash. Don't come in here like you're just cutting the grass. You're life givers. You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
It should be a different element when you walk in.
Yeah.
It should be a different level of seriousness when you go to talk. It should be a different. When I talk to the surgeon, it's different. When my family talked to the surgeon, it's different. I'm talking to somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking to somebody that's been there before,
yes.
that knows the outcome, that knows what's going to happen, that is in control of it.
Yes.
How much more are you in control? How much more do you know the outcome? You know the whole book of the Bible. You know the book of the Revelations. You know what's going to happen when you leave. You know who you're getting up. It should be a different level of confidence when you're talking
yes.
than somebody that's coming here to pick up the trash. When they come
right.
to clean their room, they'd ask me, they say, well, can we sweep here? Can we sweep there? No, when the surgeon come in, operation's at 8.
Yeah.
You're going to be there at 8.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take this liver out this time. I'm going to do this at this time. They're speaking. That's even what they said about Jesus. Never have we seen somebody talk with such authority.
Right.
My goodness, you should. When you come into this place,
Amen.
You should talk with authority.
Amen.
This is the easiest place to talk with authority. You got a bunch of people that's surrounding you, helping you, pushing you, motivating you. If you don't talk with authority here, I know you don't talk with it out there.
Run.
You're a liar. Because I know if you can't be strong in here, there's no chance you're strong out there. If you can't be strong going downstream, because this is downstream in here, don't tell me you're swimming up. If you can't make it down, don't tell me you're swimming up. Don't even tell me you're overcoming, because I know you're not. I can hear it in your testimony, because you'll tell me about 2 weeks ago. You'll tell me about 3 months ago. You'll tell me about something you held on to. You'll tell me about something you're still holding on to. You should be able to drop everything at every service. If you have a problem, it should be a new one.
Amen.
If you got an issue, it should be a new one.
Right.
You got too much preaching, too much word, too much examples. You know, I had to ask to even come to church.
Yeah.
I did, because I know how leadership works.
Right.
I didn't just assume I was going to be able to do my own thing.
Right.
I didn't just assume that I know how leadership works. But you know, when I got the word, you know, when I start putting in action, I can do a little slideshow. And let me go out and make sure I got my ride together. Let me go get me some clothes together. I can start leaning on it.
Sure.
I can lean on it. I got a word from the Lord.
Right.
Now I can lean on it.
Amen.
Now whatever has to come my way, I got a word from the Lord. He said I can go.
Yeah.
Now everything has to fall in line to make it take place. When you get a word from the Lord, just put it in place.
That's right. Man.
So I got my scripture. I'm going to read it.
Amen.
And then I'll get out of you guys' way. I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
I'm just happy to be here. So this is over in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Don't hold on to nothing.
Nothing.
Don't hold on to nothing. You know, Brother Jeremiah was preaching about forgiveness. You got to be able to forgive.
That's right.
You got to be able to forgive your brothers and sisters. And that's one side of it, and I 100% believe it. But let's make sure that we're doing all that we can to help our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
So they got less stuff that they got to forgive.
Amen.
Right? Let's just keep pushing. I'm talking to myself. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to me. But that's how this works, though. That's why you're held to your own testimony. I'm going to be held by my own words. You're going to be held by your own words. That's what damns those that walk away, because they've said what they were going to do.
That's right.
And they didn't hold to it.
No.
I'm putting my stake down saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is my priority. This is my life.
Yes.
I told Pastor Moore, because it got so rough out there, I said, if I could just get to the house and just sleep there, I wouldn't need a house. I don't need a car. I don't need a job. If I could just stay at the house, I would just sleep here. Because you start to realize what's really important. You know, when God puts you through a little bit of desperation, you can see what's really important. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, my issue that I went through was what I had to go through. That was my obstacle. And that's just my obstacle. I was strong enough to make it through it, and that was my obstacle. You have an obstacle, don't compare it to mine. Two liver transplants might not be what you need. You might need, you know, a bad boss to teach you patience. You know, you might need a car to break down and have you to calm down. You might need a wife that's reading the scripture to help sanctify you a little bit more. Your obstacle may be a different obstacle. Don't compare them. They're not comparable.
Amen.
That's not how they work. What you got to go through is different than what I got to go
that's
through,
right.
Which is why I need to hear your testimony. Amen. So if I ever have to go through that, I know how to get through it. You know what I was thinking about? I thought, man, all these health issues and all that kind of stuff. What was Brother Childers' example?
Yeah.
What did he do after any crazy event? Somebody would pass away, where would he be sitting?
Right here.
In the house. Something would go on in his life, he'd come right here.
Yes.
That was an example.
Yes.
It's been transferred over to Pastor Moore. He's been an example.
Yes.
He even showed us how to treat the body.
Yes.
I got one last thing. So as I'm recovering,
amen.
What happens is when you recover, and I say it this way because it's the easiest way for me to understand it, because the therapist was kind of explaining it in some good terms, but I didn't remember them all. So let's say you got 100 muscles in your legs. What happens in the beginning, when you've been stagnant and not sitting around, those nerves go to sleep. They get in the rut. They just go to sleep because
right.
They're not doing anything. So then when you start to move, not all the nerves move, only some of them. So like when I go to stand up, maybe only 30 nerve endings will start moving in this leg and 20 will move in this leg.
Right.
So to the untrained eye, eat one leg is weaker than the other. That's not the case. They're just as strong as each other. Just only some of the nerves are moving in one and some of them in the other. So I started thinking about that. Because I can't even build muscle until all the nerves are moving.
Right.
I can't even get stronger until all of them are moving. Because when the nerves all are moving, then they're calling on all the muscles.
That's right.
I thought, the body can't even get stronger until we all start moving. I can't have this side of the church be moving faster than that side of the church. I can't have this side of the church moving faster than this side of the church. What God was doing the last couple of months was making sure all these nerves were waking up so we can get moving. You know, Pastor Moore said it years ago. He said, I can't hurt cats. I just got to lead. He was saying, I got to start moving. I just got to start moving. Just get to the house and you start moving. God will start moving you. If you need to play the drums, just play the drums and start moving. Seeing Brother Caleb lead the song leading, let's just start moving. Seeing Brother Isaiah doing song leading with the young people in there and that, let's just start moving. I seen the sisters
Amen.
Get up. I saw Riley. Oh, my God, Daisy, the body is just moving. You get all those nerves moving, and now we get stronger. See, you got to get those nerves moving, and now Seth is stronger.
It's
Brother Warren is stronger, but you got to start moving those nerves first.
That's right.
They got to start moving first.
Wake them up.
Then you can get stronger.
Yeah.
See, what people want to do is they want to put the cart before the horse.
That's right.
They want to be stronger and then start moving. That's not how it works. You got to move, then you get strong.
That's right.
You got to move, then God will move. But you can't just sit here like a bump on the log watching everybody roll by. Doesn't come by osmosis.
Nope.
You can sit in this seat and not get the revelation I got, that Brother Childers had, that Pastor Moore had. Just sitting here don't give it to you. I've seen people want to do that. They just want to sit here and they think they're going to get a revelation. It don't work by like that.
No.
You got to start moving.
And
God tells you to testify, testify.
That's right.
God puts a song in your heart, start singing it.
That's
God
right.
Gives you something to say, just say it.
Amen.
You got to start moving or it ain't going to work. I see too often people just sit still and they got the life giver here.
Right.
You got life giver here. You got somebody that can tell you to stand up and walk, take your bed and go. Yeah. Jesus didn't care what day it was. Why do you care what day it is? Why do you guys say, well, it's Wednesday, I can't be baptized? Who said that? Who told you that? Who lied to you? It takes an hour and a half to get the water where we need it to be just to dunk you in there. We tell us in the beginning of the service, we'll dunk you at the end of it. Who told you that you had to wait? I'm just telling you some examples of excuses that you'll put in your head. Well, I didn't practice a song with Sister Don because I didn't get to see her. Well, call Andrea then. Call Sister Ramona then. Sing the song with a radio. Bring in a tape recorder. Where are you holding on? Why are you holding on to your traditions for? It's because of your traditions that you made the word of God of none effect. I could have sat there and said, well, I'm going to wait till I feel like walking to push on. No. I can't wait till I feel like it. I'll never feel like it. The bed feels better than walking. Not sweating feels better than sweating. Pushing don't feel as good as just relaxing. But if I want to get better, if I want to be able to get to the house of God, because that's my goal. If I want to be able to stand amongst believers and say, I'm here. I'm here. I made it back one more time. Then I need to push. Then I need to push. Then I need to make sure those nerves are working. See, Satan thought he had me. He thought he had a man down. But I'm like Rocky. Oh, you can have some of those rounds. But when I start swinging back, fight's over, baby. It's over now. God bless you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the time. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jay. Sister Courtney.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
You brought me a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
time. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You brought me a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me a mighty long way. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for your many blessings, for all your healing and taking care of us and providing all of our needs, Lord. Thank you for bringing Brother James back to service, Lord, for your healing and for those words, Lord, that you just spoke to us. You've been so good to us, Lord, and we just want to worship you and thank you and praise you. Thank you for another opportunity to be at the house, Lord, to see you in action, to hear you talk to us, Lord. And as we stand up here again, Lord, we ask that you move the hearing and speak out of the way and have your way. Give us what we need, Lord. Answer the questions that we might have, Lord. You know what we need. Speak to us tonight. Let us walk out of here better than when we even came in. Be with your bride around the world, Lord. Touch those that need a touch in her body. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody tonight. Glad to see Brother James back. Thank God for that. God answers and has answered prayers. And enjoyed the PowerPoint and the preaching. Glad to have Brother James back. He has work to do still. We're on this side. God keeps on this side. It means we got work to do. And that's what we're really here for. You know, we say it all the time. Our real job is the word of the hour, the message of the hour. It's what God's trying to accomplish. Because what God does is he's used different instruments through time, but his main instrument, the one that he's really chosen to use, is human beings. Amen. That's what he wants to talk through. That's what he wants to move through. He's used the cloud. He's done the pillar of fire. He's rocking the wilderness and different things. But what he really wanted to get to was human skin. And wanted to be one with man and have somebody he can fellowship with. And that's what we're here for. And we have been compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Right here, right there, all the way around. And around the world this bride is. And they that are with us is more than with the devil. I believe that. And, you know, I always love the fact that God's ahead of the devil. You know, in the hour that we live in a neurotic age, you know, the devil's here to attack and devour, try to trick, try to do whatever he can. And who he's after more than anybody is the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. But what God does is God raises up a standard every single time. Amen. And he gives you everything you need to overcome the devil. Amen. And he's, what's so good about God is God's not tricked by the devil. He doesn't. God doesn't show up to the battle and say, oh, I didn't expect him to come that way. God, with his great foreknowledge, already knew what the devil was going to do. And has provided all our needs. Before we even went through those church ages. That's right. Now think about it. Yeah. It was already prophesied that he was going to send a lion, an ox, the face of a man, an eagle. That was, John wrote the book of Revelations way back here in 90 AD, and the eagle age didn't show up here till the end time. That's right. God knew what we would need, and he has sent it every time. God has always provided. Amen. And we're more than conquerors, and we can overcome anything that comes our way. Amen. Matter of fact, God says he would not put any more on us than we can bear. Amen. Brother James just is still going through the trial in one sense, but he's came through a mighty trial. Yes. But you know what? He got through. Yes. The word held true. Yes. God did not put any more on him than he could bear. Amen. And that was what God chose for him to go through. And like our brother Alex said that time, God picked a fight with the devil one time. Yes. So you see my servant Job? Have you considered him? I don't care what you try to use on him. He won't deny me. I don't care what you do to him. He won't stop serving me. Well, you see where James is here tonight. Two livers later, laying on a hospital bed, intubated. But he's here tonight. Just another testimony, another victory, another defeat of the devil. Another soul that he lost a long time ago and never had. It's good to be able to remind him of that. And you notice in James' testimony, he wanted to tell you a little bit about the badger so you can see how much God brought him through. But he didn't want to dwell on that too much. And that's like the bride. She's here to say, let me tell you how great God is. Let me tell you how he overcomes the devil. Let me tell you what he's brought me through. I ain't giving the devil no credit. He's just used the God. So it's good to be here tonight. And good to see you, Brother James. And glad to have you back. So good to be here. And I, like you, enjoyed the service on Sunday. It was excellent. I've never really heard a message that we speak on the three pulls that we don't enjoy. That was another one in the history that is talking about us. And took some notes, and thank God, you know, I talking about my kidney stones. I went to the doctor Monday, and It started off with an 8-millimeter stone, and they blast that thing, and they took an x-ray Monday and said, I have 3 millimeters left. And by the grace of God, I drank some water Monday, and that thing came out of me. So I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I can go a couple rounds, too, and not worry about a thing. So talking about these three pulls, and you'll notice I don't have my tablet tonight. I kind of like to say this. I stole Brother Moore's notes from... And you're going to say, this is old man, but it ain't old man. Don't worry about that. It's just, he had the quotes I already need. I didn't have to go look them up. This is just from May of 2022, because I had remembered something he preached there. And I remember bits and pieces, but I said, I can't remember everything in there. Can you find those notes? Because I got something I want to see. And so I brought those tonight, and then I printed a couple more out just that one in there that I wanted to use. But anyhow, if you have your Bibles, try not to be before you long. Just a little thought I want to share with you. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. And that's the first book in the Bible. I think the majority of us know that, but just in case. That's the very first book of the Bible. And we're going into chapter 18. And I'm going to start at verse 11, but I want to set a little setting here. This first verse is where the three angels have come down. And Abraham sees these three angels, these three messengers coming down. Of course, we know that Abraham recognized the Lord because he said, my Lord. He didn't call them my lords. He said, my Lord. And so they had come down. They started talking to him. And I'm going to pick up this story in verse 11. And I got a little reading here, but just bear with me. I want to set a background. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You know, think about that. She lied to God. I mean, you know, that's pretty bad, James. That's what some of us do sometimes, too, though, I guess. We lie to God, don't we? Thank God for his amazing grace. Thank God for being identified in Jesus Christ. Because that's what saved her. She's identified with Abraham. And what saves us, we're identified with Jesus Christ. I shouldn't be too hard on Sarah. I needed grace just like Sarah needed grace. Amen. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah denied. Said, verse 16, the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Now, those other two messengers went down to Sodom, but the one stayed with Abraham. Amen. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, that 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy, not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are chosen, or that are therein? That be far from thee, and do after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as wicked, and that far from thee shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, I'm going to stop there because if you keep reading, he talks about, is there 40?
Yeah.
Is there 10? If there's 5, can you spare them, God? And then real quick, just this in there, chapter 19, verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with the face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, he put plural. And turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go in your ways. And they say, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. All right, that's the reading I wanted to give you. So let's set the background here. We have God coming down to earth. He brought three messengers. One's the Lord, two other messengers down to Sodom. Now, my title tonight is On Top of the Mountain with God. Because that's just types out just like a little room. Amen. But there's three groups of people here, really, that we're dealing with. Right. And there's a group called the bride. There's Abraham, the believer, the elect. Right. And God was with them up on a mountaintop, right, telling them all the secrets. Right. Now, we're going to dwell on that one a little bit more tonight, because that's you and me. Right. That's the third pull for you and I. That's us being in a little room and God giving us a revelation. That's God not holding back any secrets from you and me. Amen. Then there's down in Sodom and Gomorrah, Brother Dustin's. And there's the lost. Because if you read verse 19, chapter 19 all the way through, by the time you get to the end of it, God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. The lost, the ones that can't be saved. And Brother Moore told us on Sunday that third pool does a few things. Wow. Now, I want to say this because it just stuck out to me, and I wanted to make sure it sticks out to you. For years, I've always known that the third pool was two things in my mind. Uh-huh. One was, it was preaching to the souls in prison, right, to the lost that couldn't be saved. Right. The second thing that is clearly and more importantly to me, right, is it was the opening of the Word, the hidden mysteries, the new birth to you and I. And that is true tonight, just like it's always been true for as long as I know it. But Brother Moore made a comment on Sunday. He said that third pull does three things. He says it's to the bride, it's to the lost, and it's to the church. Amen. So Lot here represents the church. Amen. That's what Brother Branham typed him out as. And we're going to get into this, and I'm not going to stay there right now, but the church, inside that church are people that are going to be eternally lost. You know what's also in that church? Some foolish virgin, Brother Dustin. And not jump too far ahead here, but if you read the story, you know who got saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot.
Yeah.
Lot and his two daughters. His wife came out and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, but Lot got saved. There's your three groups. Now I want to talk about it first, but I first want to dwell on Abraham. Abraham was communing with God and had nothing to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a one-on-one relationship. He had God talking to him face to face. He had a little room experience. He was a real believer, Brother Lockett. He amened the word of God. And it was just a type that was like a little room experience that we talk about. Now let me slow down for a minute, because we call these things the first pull, second pull, third pull. Right. And Brother Branham talked about ministries having three pulls. Right. And it is kind of like it sounded. It's how you're drawing people. And you know, each pull, the further you go into this thing, less people stick around. Right. And you know, I was even thinking this week, there's some people that don't even want the first pull. Do you realize Pharaoh, when Moses went down there with signs and wonders, he just said, that's just a magic trick, and let me show you what we can do too? The first pull didn't even affect Pharaoh. There's atheists that don't even want to believe God. I don't care what you show them. Show them all the healings in the world. They make some scientific reason that it could happen. But if you're going to have a decent group of people, most people do like that first pull. They like it because it's healing. It's miracles. It's showing how miraculous God is. It'll take a sick person and make them better. And you know, you think about your individual walk. You know how you first start dealing with people? You know how they first see you? They just see what you do. They see you on the outside. They see the flesh. And that's what Brother Bram even talked about that first pull. He talked about grabbing a hand and knowing what was going on, I think it was. But either way, he was healing the body. And you know, you think about even your own walk as you walk through this life, and you have three pulls in your own individual life. The first thing people notice about you is how you live, how you act, how you behave. Are you nice? Are you sociable? Are you even friendly? Are you judgmental? Can I even approach you? There's an attraction about you. It's that attraction, Brother Moore says sometimes, that people know there's something different about you, and they don't even know how to explain it. You show up to work before anybody else or something. You work harder. you're more friendly than anybody else. They see that outside appearance. They like that. I've had that happen at work. They like that. But you know that second pool, when you get to it, prophesying the word of God, you lose some people. First, it started off with the whole world, and some of them didn't even want the first pool. Then a lot of people like that first pool. But you get to the second pool, Brother Deskins, and you start preaching the word a little bit, start telling people what's right and what's wrong. They don't like that. You know, Israel liked Moses when he was showing them miracles and started leading them out. But when he started preaching to them, telling them what they need to do, why are you above us? Why are you greater than us? That second pool starts dividing a little bit more. Yeah. Less people even in that second pool stick around. Uh-huh. But you know, just because you get the second pool doesn't even mean you're going to make the third. No. But you even think about it in your own life. People see how you act, see how you behave. Yeah. Then you know what you start doing? You start talking to them a little bit. Amen. You think about it. You have a conversation with them. And you start giving them a little word. And you know just as well as I know, there's some people you lose because of that. Amen. Some people want nothing to do with you because of that. Just in your individual life. Amen. They want nothing to do with you. Right. Then other people, they saw how you act. They see how you're talking. They're thinking you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Right. They're with you in that first and second pool. Amen. But the more you go into these pools, the less people you get. Amen. They drop off. True. You realize Judas made it to the first and second pool. But Judas didn't make it to the upper room. That's why it's even important to realize you might have healings in your life. You might come in here and get a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. But that ain't far enough. Judas walked with Jesus. He healed with Jesus. He preached with Jesus. But Judas did not make it to the upper room. You can't stop short of going all the way to that third pull. And you say, what's that? That's really just a new birth, to keep it simple for you. It's God giving you a personal revelation, a clear understanding. Not everybody can get that. Not everybody's Abraham. Not everybody's Noah. Not everybody's the bride. But thank God we understand who we are tonight. We're on the mountaintop with God. We've been in the little room. We've had our individual personal experience. We got a new birth. This is more than healing to me. This is just more of getting knowledge to me. This is a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to me, myself. You didn't give it to me, and you can't take it away. I can get healed and die. I can obtain all knowledge and be no earthly good. But you let me get changed in the nature, down that soul rim, get a real new birth. That's a permanent change that can never be taken back. Think about it, you know, let me finish the story. You talk to people, but you don't invite everybody to church. You know, Brother Moore made that comment Sunday. He said that third pool, when we're talking about dealing with the bride, Jesus got to invite you. You got to have a personal invitation. You got to be one of the foreknown. Those who he foreknew, he predestinated. Those who he predestinated, he called. Do you realize really the world's not really called of God? They're an instrument in God's hand, but they're not really called like you and I are. And those who he called, he justified. And those who he justified, he glorified. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. That's you and me. That's being up on the mountaintop with God. And God saying, will I hide anything from my friends? Let me show you all I'm doing. What did he do with the opening of the seals, the hidden work, the mysteries being revealed? He shows you the whole plan. He shows you everything he'd been doing. He shows you every class of people. He shows you how he's been working through the church. He showed how he redeemed you and how you were always in his mind. And he shows you where he's taken you. Now down in Sodom, they didn't get any of that. Down in the world, they didn't want nothing to do with that. But here we are, little bride. We're like the 120 in the upper room. We got the new birth. And because we got the new birth, we got perfect communion with God, Brother Moore. He's sitting here just talking to us. Service after service after service. Oh, that gets me excited. I've been invited in by God. I come from God and I'm going back to God. Think about the examples Brother Branham used when he described the three pools. Noah, what did it say? God was angry he made man. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Here was Abraham, Lot in the world, and who did God come visit? Who did God stay with? He stayed with Abraham. Oh, that gets me excited. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have to keep going in the little room to keep getting born again. Not trying to say that. It only takes getting born again one time. But all I'm trying to say is, you went in that little room and you got changed. That third pool's happened to you. You're up here with perfect fellowship with God. And God's talking to you service after service, dealing with you. And everywhere you go, God goes with you. God's in you. That's who your very life is. Oh, that's a blessed group of people. Thank God I'm like Abraham. Thank God I'm up on the mountaintop and God's talking to me and telling me everything going on. I can even look down at Sodom. Right. Now think about it. That's what Abraham got to do. Right. He was up on the mountaintop, looked down. Right. You know, Abraham's like us. He didn't wish anybody had to die. He really had it willing. If he could have it, he'd get everybody saved, Brother Moore. We understand not everybody can be saved. But his desire, like, Lord, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 20, why did Jesus say, I didn't come to condemn the world, I come to save the world. Whosoever will, let him come. God is not here trying to destroy people on purpose. The problem is there's these totally lost people that want nothing to do with God. It's not that we're, you know, I was thinking again, because when you study this, and because it gets pretty hard, you think about it, you say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank God I had something in me that says, I want to serve God. I believe his word. Thank God, because we're no better than anybody else. We just have the ability to amen the word of God, Brother James. I'm not looking down my nose at anybody. The fact is, there's just some people here that unfortunately don't serve God, don't want God, don't amen God. There's nothing in them to respond to God. It's been that way through time. Started with Lucifer. He's the father. He rejected God. And children have come that have rejected God. But we're up here, people, on the mountaintop with God. You say, that's just an expression. We went to the little room. We've had a personal experience. God has revealed himself to us. We're not rejecting him. We're not guessing what's going to happen. That third pool, thank God we're on the bright side of that third pool, where it's the opening of the word to you and me, the full word of God revealed to us. That's what we got tonight. And in that day and hour, that's what Abraham had. Up on the mountaintop. God dealing with him. God talking to him. Face to face, telling him everything that's going on. That's the bride. Let me read that quote for you. Got ahead here a little bit. But I do want to throw it in here. This is Look Away to Jesus. When that time comes and the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch that third pull then. It'll absolutely be to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. There's that in the church story. So we're talking about the bride. It's the opening of the word. You know, we've talked about the third pool so many years, and we've called it the little room. And Brother Moore, for so many years, has slowed down and tried to make it so simple for us to understand it. And sometimes we get preaching, or a preacher gets up here, we get excited because we see so much. And not acting like we see, like we're so spiritual, but God, you know, we study, and God's like, oh, my Lord, I'm up there like Abraham. I'm getting the word of God, and it's so great. But I do want to repeat, because I don't want to make this thing complicated for you. This third pool is just as simple as God has personally revealed himself to you. Amen. It's a clear understanding. Amen. It's the new birth. Amen. If you don't understand anything else, just thank God that says, I've been born again. God has personally revealed himself to me. Amen. That's all you need. Maybe you, like we say it here plenty of times, maybe you don't know how to explain what the seven thunders mean. Maybe you don't even know, have a clue what the seven churches are. But you know one thing, God's revealed himself to you in one revelation or another. Only took one revelation, that little room experience, and God dealt with you, and you got changed, and you'll never be the same again.
That's how simple this third pull is. I'm just excited up here because I can see myself like Abraham. I'm with God, communing with God. I'm coming to service after service, and God keeps giving me revelation after revelation. One revelation, much information, and he just keeps revealing himself to me. That's what the third pool's doing to me. I'm the elected group. I'm the called group. I'm the one in the little room. I'm the one in the upper room where God is talking personally to me. Oh, that gets me excited. That third pool becomes us. We become from human born to born again of God. God's own life and our very life. Oh, that's a nice thing to be able to say. Brother Branham had a quote up here. He was separating Sodom and Abraham. He said Abraham never was in Sodom. That's not where he's at. He's elected up on the mountaintop. But he said, and I'm going to get to this. He said those two angels went down and preached to Sodom. He said, what did it do to him? It blinded him. If you read the story, it blinded them. They couldn't even see God. Blinded. He said, but what did he do to Abraham? He said he changed his name from Abram. If you read your Bible, before Abraham was Abraham, it was Abram. He said he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. You know what that's a type of? That's a type of the new birth. You get a name change when you get born again. And people going to church, sincere people, God bless them. But they're blind, miserable, wretched, don't even know it. But here you are. God's given you a name change. He let you know who you are. He showed you your name in the book. You've got a new birth. Oh, that's what the third pool did for you. You didn't just stop at the first and second. You appreciate healing. We appreciate healing tonight. Healing's still here. Thank God for healing. Thank God for discernment and prophesying that word, that second pull, because that's what gets us better. Amen. But thank God for that quickening power. Amen. Thank God for that clear understanding. Yes, that quickening power that rides out on that word. Amen. And makes it real to you. You got to go all the way to that. And we're here tonight as the bride of Jesus Christ. We've made it to all three pools. We've made it to the upper room. Amen. That's why Brother Brandon rebuked Judas. He said he didn't go all the way. He healed with Jesus. He preached with Jesus. But Judas didn't make it to the upper room. He didn't get a new birth. He got no third pull. But here we are tonight with a clear understanding of the Word of God. That's what that third pull's done for you and I. It's quickened the Word to us and given us a clear understanding, which is the new birth. That's what he did to Abraham here. Now let's talk about the lost for a minute. Don't want to dwell on them as long as we dwell on us, because more exciting about me. What God's done for me turns me on more than what he's doing to anybody else. That's how real this thing should be to you. You know, I'm in here, I'm rejoicing tonight about Brother James' story. I'm identifying with him. And once since we're one in that way, he went through it, I identify with him, I went through it, and all those things. But there's another side of that coin. No matter how good God's been to James, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's me that needs the new birth. It's me that wants the clear understanding. It's me that wants the blessing. I'm going to wrestle with the angel all night long until I get my blessing. I don't care what you do. You need to leave early, leave early. But I'm going to stay here and wrestle all night long if I have to, because I want my blessing from God. It ain't real until it's real to you. This word's got to be real to you. It's good that you see Brother Moore saying amen. It's good that James stood up tonight and rejoiced. It's good to see people walking around. But it will never bless you as much as if you get turned on and you're the one walking around. This thing's got to become real to you. You got to have your own one-on-one experience with God. And I love how Brother Moore said it. I went back and listened to it. He said, God ain't worried about your condition. You talk about that woman in that vision Brother Bram saw. I think it went in there in a hospital bed. But come out walking, dragging the hospital bed or something like that. God ain't worried about your condition. He ain't worried about your sickness. He ain't worried about your faults. He ain't worried about your problems. He ain't worried about how bad you've been or how good you think you've been. He ain't worried about what you think your shortcomings are. He's not worried about what you think makes you not worthy. Let me slow down for a minute. I want to get that real to you. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm not worthy to come to church. You've been preached to by dog creeds and dogmas, and they've told you that you're not living good enough, that you haven't served God long enough, and you haven't read your Bible enough. They put these code of rules on you, these stipulations on you, to make you have to work something up to be worthy of God. That's not what God even wanted. He just wanted somebody to hear him, talk to them. And they say, that sounds right. That sounds like it's from God. And then God takes care of all the rest. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, don't worry about your shortcomings. Don't worry about how many years you haven't been to church. Don't worry about how bad you think you lived. Don't worry about the drug problem you thought you had. Don't worry about how the devil lying to you and saying, but you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this, and you're in here with people that live good. If you only knew all of our stories, we've been in the same boat you've been in. I'm the one that had the drug problem. I'm the one that wasn't going to church. I'm the one that had this problem. But something happened to me one day. Oh, this thing turned me on. I met Jesus. And he said, you can come with me. He says, I got some water for you. That if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Oh, that little woman at the well, she had some problems, Brother James. She lived worse than the virgins. They came out and draw water. She had to come out and draw water separately than all the rest. Oh, but it didn't matter to Jesus. Whew. He said, I got needs to go by Samaria. Got a woman been married six times, living with somebody that she's not even married to. That's who I'm after. I want somebody that needs me, that needs my amazing grace. Let them just hear my word and recognize who I am, and I'll take care of the rest. Jesus didn't ask her when he talked to her, what have you done? Have you done this and done this? Matter of fact, he told her what she did. But you know what? He still told her, go and sin no more. He still wanted her. And you know what she had in her? The Sadducees and Pharisees who lived good could not recognize Jesus. But here's this little woman caught in sin. Her life didn't look too good, Brother Jim. But there was Jesus, Brother Isaiah. That's who he was after. He said, you don't work this thing up for me. I just want you to recognize who I am. And what did that little woman say? She heard a little bit of word. You know what she said? Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Oh my, that turned Jesus on. He said, finally somebody that can recognize me. Now I can preach to you. And he talked to her a little bit longer. She got changed. And she said, let me run into town and tell you about a man that told me all things. That little woman made it to the upper room. That little woman made it to the upper room. But those Sadducees and Pharisees that kept all the rules and read every scripture and lived the life and didn't have stains in their life, they didn't make it to the upper room because they couldn't recognize Jesus. Oh my, that's how personal it is. And don't worry about your problems. Just recognize that God's here. So I won't make this too hard on you. See, God in His Bible says the way you're going to hear Him is through preaching. That's what it says. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And how are you going to hear except it be preached? I'm not here to try to act like to you as a man that I'm God snapping my fingers and acting like God. I'm just a vessel that God is using tonight to talk to you. And what you just got to recognize is you believe the scripture. You say, God's talking to me right now. I perceive that's God. That sounds right to me. That word's ringing a bell. That makes sense to me. That runs with the Bible. You're no different than a little woman at the well. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. You know what you're doing tonight? You're recognizing the word of God. And you've had your own little room experience. You came in with all your problems, and Jesus gave you a new birth and put him in a sea of forgetfulness, and you came out on the other side, perfect, spotless, bride of Jesus Christ. That's what that little room experience is about. That's what the third pool is about for that bride. But it's got to be an individual experience for you. One-on-one for you. Now those two angels went down to Sodom. God was already a little upset at Sodom. He saw them. Saw their sin, it grieved him. So they didn't want nothing to do with him. Like 1956, the Brother Branham said, the United States turned down God. Amen. Here comes the last time people turned down God. But God said, well, I'll go down to see what they're doing. And you know, those same people didn't care about him. Same people didn't want nothing to do with him. Same people that didn't believe him in the first place. Didn't believe in the God of Abraham. And didn't believe in what Adam said. They kept their creeds, their dogmas. Some of them atheists, some of them whatever. No matter if those two angels went down, no matter who God sent down there. As Brother Branham said, Lot was the first pull to them. He tried to talk to them. They scorned at him, laughed at him. He said the second pull was those two angels going down there. And they got blinded by them. They're just some people that couldn't recognize God no matter what they wanted to do. That's what the lost is. And that's what the third pull. And Brother Branham said that third pull, he said it got to that point. What did Abraham said? Can there any be saved? He knew there was a lost group down there. And eventually what happened, those people could not see God. There was nothing in them to see God. They didn't want God. They didn't follow God. And God destroyed them. Amen. They were lost. Amen. And up here, Jesus did it to souls in prison. Up here, do you realize in reality, the church age, the body's formed. Every name's revealed. I don't have time to go into this. You get born again under your message. But what I want to say is, do you realize that really saving time's over? Every name's up there. If you get born again today, you get born under one of those messages after that last one. There's only seven. And you know there's people today, just like the people that Jesus went down to hell and preached to, that can't see God no matter how much you preach it to them. We've all thought this, right? We've went and thought, this is so easy to see. Let me just show it to you. And that's why Brother Branham said, this third pool won't be explained. Won't be a public show. There's got to be a personal relationship, personal revelation between you and God. And this word's preaching, and there's souls in prison now. That's what Brother Branham taught him. There's people today that no matter how much you preach to them, no matter how much you would scream at them, they want nothing to do with God. They wouldn't see God. Brother Moore illustrated it Sunday. Here's Jesus going down to hell, standing right in front of them. And some of them known who he was, and they still didn't believe him. Just staying right there in hell. Still couldn't accept him. Think about that. And that doesn't seem real to us because we're like, I can't help but believe him. But that's how the world's condition is today. There are people today that are blind, rich, and miserable and know it not. There's people that don't want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with the prophet. They want nothing to do with the word. We're preaching to the lost. That's what that third pulled up.
That's right.
But the other thing I want to mention before I get down here tonight is that church. Now, let me say a few things. You know, the fullest version do not have a new birth tonight. Let me make that clear. The third pull, as far as giving them a new birth, has not happened in their life at all. But what the third pull is happening is it's in the bride of Jesus Christ. And we know about this fullest version. The Bible tells you about them in Matthew, the 25th chapter. That there's a group of people that will go into heaven at the great white throne judgment and go into and walk in eternal life because of how they treated the bride, the brethren. Now, I never thought of it, Brother Moore, until you preached it on Sunday, but that third pool is working in you and me. Going out there every day. And people have an opportunity to touch God and deal with him and treat him good every day. And some people do. You know, Brother Branham talked about Lot. He said, really, he kind of knew he should be where Abraham was a little bit. He felt guilty. But there was a group down in that church called Lot as a type that God pulled out. Wasn't on the mountaintop with God. And Brother Branham made a comment. I want to talk about these three groups. I'm glad I'm in Abraham's group. It's the royal seed of Abraham. It's the only group that will go in the rapture.
Amen.
The bride's going in the rapture. The fullest versions, even though they walk in eternal life later, do not go in the rapture. They got to go through the tribulation period and be purged. But thank God they had a chance to come across God, come across a believer, and treat that believer in the right way so that when they get to that white throne judgment, they can walk in and be spared. That's that church that we're trying to get to. Because the other people that aren't going to heaven, they're part of lost. They're eternally separated from God. But there is a group of people that was part of that eternal cloth that was always in God's mind That class called the virgins, the foolish virgins Amen. That treat the brethren good. They're going to get there. Now, I want to throw a few things in for you real quick, if you don't mind. I always try to stop by nine, so I got a few minutes. I'm so glad I had James back. He took about five of my minutes, though. So. I was teasing last night because I went over to Brother Moore asking for these notes. And James stayed upstairs. I was talking to Brother Moore. I said, I had to keep this secret. Because James is back. He's going to steal stuff now. Because I can't let him see this. But I'm so glad you're back. Amen. Revelation is the 20th chapter. Just want to separate these groups out a little bit for you. My early days of serving God, the scripture I'm about to read to you was one that always meant a lot to me. Revelation 20th chapter, the 6th verse. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That first resurrection has to deal with the rapture. That's us. We're going up. We're going to heaven. We're going to wedding supper. We're going to reign with him and even be in the throne with him when the judgments happen. We're going through the millennium with him. The second death, and I'm going to read what that is here in a minute, has no dominion over us. We're up on the mountaintop with God. We have no destruction coming our way. We have passed from death unto life. We've been born again. And we are not ever going to die again. We're not getting cast into the lake of fire. Blessed and holy are they. Amen. That's that group on the top of the mountain with God. Amen. That's you and me. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to Revelation 21. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But watch verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those eternally lost people, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. The devil and all of his followers, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. You know, there's going to be a burning on this side. At the end of the Great Tribulation period, there's going to be a burning on that side too. And they're going to be burnt. And that's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what's going to happen in this day and age. But thank God, there's a group where he said, blessed holy are they, where the second death hath no power. Amen. We're not going to lake of fire, people. We're going to a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to live eternally right here with God. He'll be our God. We'll be his people. It'll be God all in all. Amen. That's a nice little group to be part of. And I ain't got time, but I'm just going to illustrate to you. St. John, the 5th chapter, Jesus talked about a general resurrection. He said there's going to come a time when all those in the graves will come up. Yeah. Brother Branham called it the second resurrection. He called it the general resurrection. He says it's not the same as the first resurrection. He said that's at the white throne judgment. When all those people come up. That's the lost, the eternally separated from God. That's the souls in the altar. That's the... Everybody else ain't already in heaven. Right. And there's that foolish virgin group. And in that group, you know, you can read in 20 where it talks about that coming up to the white throne judgment. You can read in St. John 5 where it talks about general resurrection. And you get in Matthew 25, 26 and on, it talks about separating the sheep, as separating the sheep from the goats. He sends those goats out and remembers them no more. Total loss. But that's where those foolish virgin come in, Brother James. It says, when did I give you water? When did I give you this? Or when did I do this to you? When you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And they get to go into eternal life and live forever out on the earth, just as eternal as you and I are. And the reason being is they got to deal with the third pool in the sense they got to deal with it in you and me and treat God way that he treated the believers. But that third pool does three things. talks to the bride, talks to the lost, talks to the, deals with the church. And I'm just excited to say I'm on the top of the mountain with God. Amen. Good to see you, Brother James. God bless you. I'm the believer, the one God's talking to, the one God keeps dealing with, the one that God holds nothing back from, the one that knows the secrets, the one that's been born again, the one that's going into rapture. I'm the one. And when you get that third pull, Brother Brandon, talk about that third pull in action. Talk about creating those squirrels. Talk about it, Sister Hattie Wright. I'm claiming my loved ones. On and on and on. But thank God we've had a little room experience. It deals with those three groups. I'm glad to be in the bride. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
Amen. God bless you. That third pull means everything. You know, you might hear the term third pull and you might think, oh, I don't have a clue. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because if you can receive the word of God, you're receiving the third pull. I mean, that's how simple it is. It's not hard. It's simple. If you can hear God's word and not know all of God's word, but just hear it. And when you hear it and you say, that is nothing but the truth. You know, the Holy Ghost is so easy. Just receiving the word. When you receive the word, you receive the Holy Ghost. A lot of people say, oh, come up to the altar, come and tarry, come and do this, come and do that. It's real easy. You just walk right into the third pull. Third pull is the opening of the word. Third pull is the revealing of the word personally to you. Third pull is the new birth. Third pull is a changing of the soul. Third pull is a clear understanding. It's all those things. We use those terms to try to bring people around so they can see that it's not what you have now. But when you find out what it is not, and then when you find out what it is, what you'll find out by the time you realize what the third pull is, you're already part of it. You'll look up one day and say, you know what? They said it's a clear understanding. I understand what they're preaching. They say, well, you don't understand everything. You don't have to. If you understand what was preached tonight, not in the depths. And when I say understand, I'm talking about agree with the word. So I've heard a lot of preaching, and this is the only thing that's ever made sense to me. That's the third pull. Because the people with the first pull can't take it. All they want is healing, signs and wonders, treat me good, and let me have a church to bury my dead and baptize my kids. That's all you want. That's first pull. Second pull, they get mad at you. People can't stand the word. They get stomping out. They don't like what's being preached. Well, you can never get to the third pull if you can't get past the second. If you can never hear the word and say, you know, I agree with it. That's all it is. I agree with the word. It's not even, Brother Brum said, he didn't say, can you understand it? He said, can you believe it? When the word's preached, it first must be believed. And once it's believed, that gives God a channel to move in. And when he moves in, he moves the furniture around. He changes the house. He changes the look. He changes the paint on the wall. He changes the furniture. He changes the shutters. He changes everything about the house. He'll start moving in. And you know, when I moved in my house 4 years ago or whatever it was, I didn't change everything at once. I started with one thing at a time. I'd maybe put some carpet down. Never even looked different on the outside. Then I started working it upstairs, putting furniture where we wanted, cleaning things out. Then I moved outside, start planting some flowers, doing some things on the outside. And you know, the neighbors looked and said, somebody else is living in there. But that's the way it works. It's that simple. It's not as hard as the church world makes it. It's not hard to be born again. Just receive the word. And then once you receive the word, it'll receive you. And it'll change you into whatever you need to be so that the word can do this job. That's what it's all about. Thank God for the third pull. Enjoyed it, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. Enjoyed Brother Jay, too. Now, like I said, Jay will be here in and out. Just give him room and space and time. He's still on a recovery. He's still doing. But I want to take this moment. You know, I've been there the whole time. Huh, Courtney? I was there from day one to today. I watched it all. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And one thing that has taught me a lot, and I told her, I said, Courtney, you have taught me a lot just watching her. I mean, here is somebody who stood by her man when they told her he didn't have the rest of the day to live. Later crossing, when he was out of his mind and trying to get out of bed. See, you don't even know what love is until you go through things. And I sat and I watched that and I told her, I said, Courtney, you taught me so much just sitting back watching. That's when the rubber meets the road. So you can talk love, you can say a lot, but if it wasn't for Courtney, Jay would not be alive today. And I want to give her a hand because she has been a jewel. You have, Courtney. You're my girl. She stood by her man. And it wasn't easy. Still not easy. Still a lot of work. But she stood right there. And don't have to tell me nothing else. Mm-mm. And worked. You might say, well, why is he at your house? Why didn't he go home with Courtney? But Courtney's working. She's keeping the doors open on their house while her husband recovers. She ain't done helping him. She's still helping. She come from work to try to race to get here tonight. From Cincinnati. She wasn't working down here in the corner there somewhere. She come from Cincinnati. So she ain't got to say nothing to me. See, your testimony speaks louder than your words. A lot of y'all might talk. But when the rubber meets the road, when you're back against the wall, when you don't have nowhere else to turn and you got things to do, you got to sacrifice, you got, Courtney, you did it all. And I don't want you to leave here tonight thinking anything less than that you're the best thing that ever happened to Jay. So he's going to be at my house for a while. I don't know how long. He's in Nate's boot camp. And I don't give him no slack. I don't give him no breaks. I say, he's got to do this. He's got to do it himself. Because he's still getting his strength back. So the worst thing he needs is somebody who's going to baby him and pamper him. So I don't do, he need to come to the wrong place for that. But he's got some recovery to do. But he's good. His heart's desire is to be in the house. And I told Courtney, I said, Jay's going to be a changed man. You all see it. He's, you know, when you haven't been through something, it's easy to be critical, or it's easy to be flippant, or it's easy to not have the compassion that maybe you should have. But when you've been through what he's been through, it'll make you appreciate. He was so happy when they let him put a couple of ice chips on his tongue. He told me, oh, it was the greatest thing, because he hadn't had anything, and just to get ice chips. So he knows what it's been to be without. And Courtney's been through it too. The kids have been through it too. The church has been through it too. So it should make us all stronger, more considerate, looking at the bigger picture of it all. Because it's not about us. This is what we're doing here. It's not. This isn't even about us. This is about what we're doing to help others. And you see that boy's got, I call him my boy because he is my boy. These both are my boys. You see he's got preaching in him.
I see that.
He's and just to see him sitting on that seat preaching away, I thought, my goodness. And one day I had both of my boys in the hospital at the same time. I didn't tell y'all. They were both in the hospital. And I was like, Satan's hitting, but God's greater. you know. And this is first time all three of us got back in this church together in 2 months. So thank God for that. Keep him in your prayers. Continue to pray for Courtney and the kids. You know, it's hard. They, you know, they have to come over to see their dad, and it's a lot of logistics, but that's okay. He's closer now than he was when he was in Cincinnati. All I got to do is walk in the next room now. And I appreciate John. Y'all just don't know. You know, had it been anybody else, and see how God puts us together. Had it been anybody else but John and Courtney, it would have had a different outcome. And I sit back, I watch God move, and I watch God protect Jay, and I watch God look over Jay, and I saw all the things that God did to keep that boy alive when they were giving up on him, when they were saying he wasn't going to make it, when they were saying they had all kind of reasons why. Every step of the way, huh, Courtney? Every step, if anything could happen wrong, it did. But God was with him the whole way and saw him through. And I didn't want to go home without letting Courtney know that she's been the greatest thing that's ever happened outside of salvation in that man's life. And if he never knew it, see, that's the thing about going through something, if he never knew it, if he didn't know how much Courtney loved him, ain't no doubt. You know, sometimes we take our spouses for granted. Sometimes we think they're going to always be there. I remember when Brother Childers was here and he told Danny and Lois, he said, y'all get ready because one of y'all going to go before the other one. And he told them that because Danny and Lois, you didn't see one without the other. Matter of fact, they were the originator of the middle seat belt. She sat right up on him and got on you if you got between them. But, you know, that was love. But when you're going through things, it helps you and it teaches you what real love is. And if Jay never understood the love that Courtney has for him, it's clear. It's clear. So I thank you, Courtney. The body thanks you. The bride around the world thanks you. Because we don't have very many preachers that know how to really preach it, the truth. So it's been a big deal. It's a big thing. And I didn't want us to go home without even saying that. Michelle, you want to say something?
I just want to thank Courtney personally. I know the body can do it, but it was many days I had to walk out of room. I looked at Courtney, I said, I'm out. You know, as a mom, I'm out. And she said, that's okay, I got him. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank her personally, because I know he wouldn't be here without her. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that happened when I was like, James, Courtney is amazing. He said, I know it. Y'all just need to know it. And I was just like, I give you all honor and all glory for saving my son. Mm-hmm. And I can't give you higher praise than that. And I from the bottom of my heart, I do want to, you know, say if I ever offended you or ever hurt you, please forgive me. You know, I'm just sorry.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, and I just ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. All right, come on, musicians. We got to get out of here. I only got one tissue in my pocket. So. Amen. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Don't forget the announcements. Pray for me. I got a wedding to do this weekend. My mate and this guy from Springfield Metro, I'm going to do their wedding. So I got that. Then I got the wedding next week. So I got back-to-back wedding. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin's like, oh, yeah, you're going to do that one. Don't forget the announcement. Now, the wedding is on Friday. Don't show up on Saturday. It's on Friday at what time? How time? 4:30. Yeah, come on, Kevin. Give us some information. 4:30.
The wedding will be here next Friday at 4:30, and the reception will be at the venue at Jay and Courtney's venue.
The main house.
And you know, Jay has been amazing. He has, and Sway, you know, she just said, man, you know, you got some real friends here, you know, because to tell him, I was telling about Jay. I said, you know, he's been a brother to me. He has. I mean, to all of us, but I'm just speaking for myself. He's been a good friend. I mean, this man's here is on his deathbed. And is willing to give his venue up to me. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that. You can't. I mean, in one sense, he don't owe me anything. He don't. Right. He doesn't owe me anything. And it's just see him, just see what God has done for him. I couldn't help but to walk around here because God's real. Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is real. He's a real God. And if you can't see it now, you're just playing stupid. I'm sorry, but you have to have this. I just have to call like I see it because God is real. He's a real God. He is. And amen. I thank God for this place because this place is amazing because we got the full word here. We don't hurt for nothing here. We don't. I mean, we don't come out empty-handed at all. Mm-mm. I mean, the third pool really has helped me a lot just listening to that because I didn't really understand. I didn't know how to place it. And you answered my question because I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, the third pool, the terms. I was like saying the terms. Why do you have all these terms? And you explained to me. I was sitting right there, thank you, Lord, because I didn't have to leave the church. And even just didn't know what it was because I, for the longest, didn't know it. But God answered my prayer right there, just sitting right there. And I thank God for that because God knows what you need. Mm-hmm. He never comes out failing. He never does. Mm-hmm. So I just thank God for this place. I love you guys. I can't never say it enough. This is a real body. And you really appreciate who your really true friends are.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to say that.
Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, ma'am. Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
So I saw this shirt. It says More Than a Conqueror a while back, a couple months ago, and my sister-in-law makes shirts. So I just had her make these, but I mean, this is what we are. This is who we are. So anyway, I just wanted to say if you want any more information, I'm going to put a sign-up sheet in the back there, and just let me know if you have any questions.
Amen. Amen. How much are they? 34 adults. $18 for you. Okay. So we need to know that. No, we're going to sign up. Oh, it's on the sheet. Okay, thank you. Amen. Come back Sunday morning. Come expecting. And we'll see what God has. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God.